Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
I like that last part best. Hello and welcome, everybody, to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and hopefully some wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realm. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, lightworkers, lightbearers, spiritual empaths, spiritual intuits, and that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, take your shoes off, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. Lifted, right. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie tonight, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like one, the call-in number is 347-857-2139. Jeannie's in the chat room, so if you have any questions, she's the one to dial up. She's me as a co-host. I don't answer private messages as we're going through the show, so if you want an answer, you call Jeannie or you type in Jeannie, and she'll inform you of whatever it is you need to be informed of. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com. And before we get started doing the readings, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to invest your time and your energy, your insight, and where you want to get information and wisdom from. These are the shows that I go to. These are the shows that I enjoy spending my time with. These are the shows when I'm looking for a place to spend my time, these are the shows that I touch into. I do want to say that I haven't listened to every show on BTR, so I can't recommend them all. But the ones that I find radiate a spiritual energy and have inspirational material on them, these are the ones that I visit. These are the ones that I endorse. And as I listen to other shows, as I get to know other show hosts and things like that, my list will get longer and longer and longer, hopefully. excuse me. The Spirit of the Radio is a show, excuse me, pollen is in the air. Spirit of the Radio is a show that is hosted by Ray Booker and medium Sarah May, both of whom have been guests on this show. They are both amazing spiritual mediums. They come from the UK, and I believe their show is on Sunday. You're going to have to check it out, you know, with Blog Talk Radio to see exactly what time it is. on Tuesdays and Fridays, psychic medium Renee Richards has her show on Blog Talk Radio. She's an amazing medium. She is amazingly talented and gifted, sincere, down to earth, and is just phenomenal. She pulls names out of the hat that, you know, keeps your jaw on the tabletop for a long time. From 10 to 12 every night is Curious Times with Chris. This is a show that is a wonderful platform for mediums and people who are in the spiritual realms to sort of get their feet wet. It's a great place to go to sort of relax and diffuse from the stresses of the day. It's a community that is full of laughter and support, and it's just a wonderful, loving place to spend time. She highlights and spotlights people who are just coming up in the field. She has open mic nights where anybody can call in and do readings if they want to. She has interesting guests, and the topics are, you know, the plethora of topics she covers are phenomenal. How she does it, I don't know. She's on 7 days a week, and I don't think she's had a day off in so long that it's amazing. A new show just out, I think this was their second night that they had a show on, is Paranormal Psychic Radio with Solana and Christina Nelson, both of whom are amazing paranormal investigators, and they have a wealth of background, a wealth of knowledge, and they do share their information amazingly. Robert at biteradio.me is another host who is a wonderful supporter and endorser of new talent and an old talent that is, you know, out there still. He has an amazing ability to bring in unique and unusual people. His show is always fascinating. And we've got Heavenly Whispers with the Reverend Ann Rose, who is phenomenal. She does amazing shows. You really have to catch her because she is so insightful and so low-key that you get amazed by what comes out of her mouth. Hawk's Nest is the show of Ken Quiet Hawk, and his show is on Tuesday nights. Please do go and get addicted to his amazing show. His wife, Deborah New Moon, has her show on at 1 o'clock, and her show is Mama Moon. Oh, no, On My Mind with Mama Moon. It's on 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. They are both native storytellers, and their material is phenomenal. It's so sincere. It's so honest. It's so pure that it really touches you in unusual ways. Ken's show is bringing old-time radio back into new time generations, and it's amazing. I'm very addicted to it, and I listen to it every chance I get. And we can't forget Corrine DeWinter at Supernatural Radio. She is also one of those amazing people, and she is a representative for the Kessler Energy Plates, and her website is www.purpleplates.com. And believe it or not, I say that in my sleep. I've heard it so often. So that said, those are the shows that I endorse, that I you know, visit myself, that I think are fabulous, and I would highly encourage you to check them out. They're listed on my show page if you weren't taking them down, which I can't imagine why you're not taking notes here. Everybody else does. So I think that you know, before we get into readings, I do want to talk a little bit about the times and how things, the times they are changing. And one of the topics that has been most foremost in my own life has been integrity. And integrity is a word that we kind of throw around a lot, but I don't think a lot of us, you know, really are paying enough attention to it. And the other term is light worker, which has become, as far as I'm concerned, hackneyed. It's sort of like certain curse words that you say them so often, they don't have the impact that you expect them to have on people. But integrity is really, really important. And to anyone who is in a spiritual service position, and I don't know what I would call what I am. I know I do spiritual empathic work, and I do readings and stuff like that. But in this field, especially, integrity is very, very important. And I have recently, you know, been reminded of how important it is. And being discerning about the people that you come in contact with, the people that you trust, and the people that you work with. So many of us, you know, I'm a light worker too. Oh, here's my bank account number. I didn't do that, by the way, but I came close. So it's just because somebody says they are a light worker does not necessarily mean they are. Just because someone says they are a medium or a psychic or a whatever does not mean they are. You really need to step back. You really need to take a look at the person, and you need to look at their integrity, and you need to look at at whether or not they walk their talk. And that's something that unfortunately, I trip down this pathway rather blithely on occasion, and I forget to step back and say, well, wait a minute, is that person really living up to their philosophies, or are they just talking them because it makes them seem important? And I have to admit, over the last couple of months, I've been tripped up a couple times. And you know, when I screw up, I don't do it half-assed. I do the whole thing. I throw everything into the pot, and then the universe hits me with a 2x4 and says, "Are you crazy? You know, let's take back your own personal power here and understand that while you're trying to walk your talk and you're trying to have the greatest of integrity because you touch people's lives, doesn't mean that everybody else is. And just because they say they are, that doesn't mean that's what they are. You have to stand back and watch. You have to be discerning. You have to pay attention. And I think that's something that all of us forget, you know, in this huge community we have. Even here on Blog Talk Radio, it's sort of like, I'm a light worker. Well, I'm a light worker too. Oh, let's go to this show together. Let's do this together. And you don't take the time to really get to know the people. You know, it's enough to say I'm a light worker. No, it's not. I don't even know what a light worker is anymore because there's so darn many of them out there. They can't all seriously be light workers. So there has to be a new term, and that will become hackneyed as well at some point in time. Perhaps the best thing to say is, you know, I'm on a spiritual pathway, and let your actions let people know what it is and who you are. Lots of people, you know, their interpretation of a light worker and a spiritual pathway are very different. It's very much like there are lots of different kinds of psychics. There are lots of different kinds of mediums. And if you were going to go for a reading with any one of them, you would, I hope, investigate them. You would take a look at, you know, the people and the clientele and their lives. And if they're not on a web, if they don't have a website, if they aren't on like Bob Olson's Best Psychic Network, if they're not involved in spiritual endeavors, then you don't want to go there. My website has, I swear, if you read your way through my website, you'd probably know me better than my family does. But it's out there, and my credentials are out there. And you need to pay attention, because in these times of change, in these times of personal awakenings on all levels with all people, you have to understand that there are going to be, just like there were carpetbaggers after the Civil War, just like there are always, you know, camp followers that you know, tend to try to take the glory from the people they serve or whatever, there are those kinds of people in every age, in every generation, in every aspect of life. And you really want to make sure that who you're linking yourself to, who you're listening to, who you're becoming involved with, are people that have the same kind of visions for what a spiritual journey is. To me, when I began this journey a very, very long time ago, I was looking for, I had had two bad marriages. I was a single parent, and while I was a good mother and a good teacher, it felt to me as though my life was empty, that I wasn't answering the calling or the callings that I had felt were there since a very early age. And so, you know, I struggled. I kind of looked for, you know, there has to be something else. There has to be a way to serve. And it was to serve humanity. It was to make myself available to help other people in whatever way I could, and to make that my purpose in life. And so I started on so I have to do classes for spiritual development, and it all fell into place. The universe, when you're on the right path, puts things in place in front of you sequentially. And you spend whatever length of time you need to be in that particular aspect of development, and then there's another one. Every now and then, all of us figure we know exactly where the universe wants us to go because we're spiritual people, and we decide to steer for ourselves. We decide to take control of ourselves and our own destinies because we have free will, after all. Reality is we charted this lifetime. We set things in place. And when there are stalls, when there are places where things aren't happening, there's a really good reason for them. And we have to have the trust, the faith. We have to, trust that the universe knows what it's doing. Now, I don't always think the universe knows what it's doing, but it actually does. I'm human, and I have just this lifetime to draw from, and because I just have this lifetime to draw from, I have a limited view. And so when I decide that I know exactly what I should be doing and how I should be getting there, I have a feeling that on the other side there are a whole bunch of spirits saying, oh, God, she's going to try to steer again. And then they all go out and have beer and play golf while I hit brick walls and things fall apart on me. And then I kind of look up there and say, is anybody back yet from your fiasco? Are you going to help me pick up the pieces? And then they do come back. And it's like, it's in your hands. I will, just give me the flow again, and I'll flow with it. And things do pick up, and they move along. So many times we get fed up, and we insist we know what we should be doing. And that's one of the biggest disasters any of us could fall into, because we really don't. We have an ego. We have a physical reality that does control us to a great degree. And on a spiritual level, maybe we're not meant to be changing jobs, or maybe we're not meant to be moving in new directions. But you get frustrated and you want to make changes and you want to make things happen. I mean, more than immediate gratification, please let it happen last week, not next week. And those are the times when patience is called for. And none of us have enough patience, ever, 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 ever. None of us do. There's always room for more patience, unfortunately. Frankly, I think that, we should be able to fill up before we incarnate and then move on, but apparently that isn't the way it goes. But as far as spiritual callings go, we all have them, but not all of us are meant to walk a path of being famous. Not all of us are meant to walk a path in which, we have great followings. Not all of us are meant to walk a path in which, riches follow us wherever we go. A spiritual calling means that you are walking your inner philosophy, whatever that is. And It means that you are of service to humanity in your own unique way. Sometimes it's working with animals. Sometimes it's working with people. Sometimes it's working, you know, in writing. It's all different. And as I said earlier, it's as unique and different as are we. So no two people will have the same pathway. Now, the destination is always the same. But the way we get there is unique unto ourselves. And very often we see somebody that looks like they have the same direction, and we sort of try to walk along with them for a while, and for a while we can. But then each pathway has to go its own direction. And sometimes we think, nah, I'm going to stay with my friend for a while longer, and then disaster happens because your friend's pathway is not yours. That doesn't mean, you know, let me be clear here on this one, that in relationships it means that you have to walk away from a partner, because that's not the case. But I'm talking the direction you are taking your life, the things that you are doing in your life that give you a feeling of richness and joy, accomplishment, and love and honor. And that's part of what doing, you know, walking a spiritual pathway is. It's having great integrity. And everybody falls and everybody screws up. That's why we're down here. That's why we're human. But, you know, if we screw up the same way more than one or four or five times, then you have to step back and you have to say, all right, what's the brick wall? What's my problem that I can't make it past this one particular area? And usually it's because we aren't actually going with the flow. Usually it's because we aren't paying attention to what the universe is putting in front of us. you know, I screw up on a regular basis. I try not to do it the same way twice because that's awfully boring. But it does and can happen. I think one of my biggest stumbling blocks is that I really like everybody, and I tend to trust people. And, you know, I tend to give people my trust before they have earned it. And, you know, that's one of the things I guess I work on this lifetime. I must say that I'm 70 years old, and I am at this point sucking at it. But hopefully I'll get better and better and better. Lots of people have been asking me of late, how do I know what my path is? How do I know where should I go? Where should I take my energy? Where should I... how can I flow on my spiritual pathway if I don't know what things are going to fuel that? And it's a good question. And usually it deals mostly with your passions, those things that give you joy. And so many people these days, because of the pressures of the economy, because of the pressures of relationships, because of the pressures of being human, people have so focused on the economic aspect of their life that the spiritual aspect has really been shoved aside and back and kind of in the corner, so to speak. And you know, I would say to those people who are frustrated because, you know, they're 40 or 50 and they don't know what their passions are, and that can be exceedingly frustrating, that you should really reflect back on what were those things that gave you joy when you were a child, because most children come in pre-programmed with their passions, those areas that if they grew into them, if they worked on them, they're places and things that you've done in past lives that you were really, really good at. And this lifetime, if you wanted to use those aspects to sort of evolve into a career of sorts, it would flow very easily for you. Lots of times prodigies come in with music that they developed in past lifetimes. And so the music is so profoundly there, and their talent is so profoundly amazing that they flow into that, and their life is rich and joyful and full of all sorts of wonderful stuff because they're going with their passions. Now, not all of us come in as prodigies. I didn't, for sure. But when I look back and I look at those things that I played with and that I played at when I was very young, like three or four, almost all of them are aspects that have been woven into my life at this particular point in time and add a great richness to it. I used to teach my pets. I became a school teacher. One of the things that I did that I loved the most was to paint those paper doilies. And that evolved into eventually the painting of mandalas, which took me on an amazing journey. And I always did church services for every time, you know, something died, I did a service for it. And I would do a church service for an aunt many times. And usually I was the one that killed it. So I became a minister. So I would say to you, look at those things that you would do, for great lengths of time. I know Jeannie is, she's very good at doing genealogy work. She loves to do it. And there have been times in the past years where we have spent hours on the telephone trying to find relatives that should be someplace, but they're not. And I would say that for her was one of her passions. It doesn't have to be your career, but if you have your passions that you're working on them at some point in your life, in some area of your life, they open channels for spiritual energy to flow into your life and greatly enrich you, tremendously enrich you, unbelievably enrich you. So that even if perhaps you have a mundane job, the rest of your life is so full of joy and excitement about the things that you're doing that the mundane job is what's going to, you know, pay the rent, put food on the table, and, you know, clothing on your back. Everybody in the spiritual field has moments in their life where they suddenly realize that there was a spiritual calling. I do truly believe that we all have spiritual callings. We don't all answer that calling, but we all have a calling. And if we choose to answer it, it doesn't mean life is going to be easy, but it sure means it's going to be exciting. I know that while I was interested in the spiritual and the metaphysical at a very, very early age, and was working on understanding spirits and stuff when I was very, very young. It wasn't until I was, 18, 19, and a UFO landed on my campus that I had one of those epiphanies, one of those moments of total an absolute flash of awareness. When I saw this UFO take off and swoop over my campus, I wasn't scared. Nobody actually was scared. We all felt very protected, and it wasn't a frightening experience for us. And my feeling at that moment was, you know, we're not alone. There's something else out there. There's another energy out there. There's another galaxy, world, the Earth is not the only energy, the only place where there is life. And it got me to investigating UFOs, and it got me to understanding that while at that particular time in the 60s, there were fearmongers out there talking about evil aliens and everything, I never felt that. And the more I studied, the more I realized that, you know, and come forward in time, 40, 50 years, that's horrifying, that now they're saying that the UFOs were actually the extraterrestrials, and the extraterrestrials were actually here on the Earth plane and during biblical times and even before that. And it kind of all sort of comes together, and it makes sense to me that this is another level of spirituality, but it's not the only level. It means that, okay, so who made them, and who do they worship, and who made them, and who did they worship? And, you know, it's a hierarchy, and I don't really know where the earth plane falls on it. I just know that there are a lot of steps beyond this particular earth plane, but the spiritual pathway, the spiritual way of living your life, the spiritual way of putting out good energy and love only enriches you, and it brings pleasure and joy and I call it a cosmic dance of creation, because we do get into that that element of enriching ourselves greatly because of the joy that we feel in our hearts and our spirits. So I guess what I'm trying to say to all of you is that saying you're a spiritual person, or saying that you are a light worker, or saying that you are anything, is meaningless unless you are backing it up with your walk and your talk. There are profound spiritual people out there, and none of them tell you they're spiritual people. My sister is a shaman in the Peruvian tradition, and she is often said to me, "Oh, I never tell people I'm a shaman. If they can't tell it by how I act and what I do, then I'm doing something wrong." And I don't always agree with her. I do agree with her on that particular aspect, that we have to be a representation of what we believe. And if we are a true representation of what we believe, then there's power in what we are. There's amazing power in what we radiate. And here's where, you know, law of attraction comes in here, because if we are truly radiating the intent and the integrity of a spiritual pathway, then we will be drawing spiritual people to us, or spiritual experiences that will enable us to be even more spiritual, because you always can be more spiritual. And so it's an amazing journey, and I don't think everyone understands that this is a learning journey. This is not one in which, you know, I teach and you learn. It's an experience where I teach, you teach, everybody learns and grows. It's a shared experience, absolutely. And without each other, you know, there's no school. So that, you know, you guys are as much of a teacher as I am, and we're both students too, and we can, you know, make a way, and we can talk about the administration. but it's an amazing, exciting time in life, and it's not one to play with. This is serious stuff. We are in serious times. The world is in turmoil. There is corruption all over the place, and unless people start to walk their talk to a greater degree, unless we start to have greater integrity within ourselves and our lives, we're headed for the dark ages again, and I don't think any of us want that. I'm pretty sure that I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm pretty sure that everybody who's listening to me is probably on the same page I'm on. But you know, there are millions and millions of people out there who, you know, "Oh, I'm very spiritual. I go to church every Sunday," or I'm on a spiritual pathway. I follow Scooby-Doo and his brother. And if you are following someone, then you aren't walking your own philosophy. It's not a position where you follow someone, but rather pay attention to the inner spirit and allow that spirit to you know, open the way for you, to open the pathway for you. I know that there are some very wonderful people out there who share their philosophies, and some of the philosophies are just wonderful, but everybody has their own special formula, and it's not meant to be one where everybody does it the same way at the same time in the same manner, because spiritual is unique to every single spirit on this plane. And I think the pagans have a wonderful philosophy. I think all of us should adopt it. It's to do no harm. And that's a wonderful precept to follow. And everybody can follow that and do it in their own way. But if you are in a group doing something, and if your only mode of spirituality is that group, then there's a problem, because everybody does things differently. So that, you know, and I'm not saying don't study in groups. Please understand that. I think it's fine to do classes. It's fine to do workshops. It's fine to do all sorts of stuff. I'm talking about cultish stuff here. So it's an amazing process to not get caught up in a group, a clique, this is how we do it. No. Everybody does it their own way. Take what is wise, take what is good, take what works for you, and move on. And absolutely have friends and do things as groups as well. But don't make that your only way of being spiritual, incorporated into a whole bunches of other stuff. I mean, if you go to church, go to different churches. See what the different denominations have to offer. Yeah, be eclectic. And don't be afraid to, you know, try something new. There are things out there that aren't real healthy for people to do, and stay away from them. Use your common sense, for heaven's sakes. But a spiritual pathway is a magical journey. It is phenomenal, so long as it's your own personal experience and not that of someone else's. There are people to take notes from, absolutely. There are people to study and then move on. What happens is people get stuck. There are people who read the works of certain people and then begin to quote them as though they were quote chapter and verse. And I'm not actually talking the Bible. I'm talking some other things that are out there as well. Sometimes it's the Edgar Cayce stuff. Sometimes it's the Billy Meyer stuff. Sometimes it's Course in Miracles stuff. Sometimes, you know, it's people who have restricted themselves to one particular pathway. And those people become parrots. I have something written on my website that has to do with you can either be a parrot or a prophet. And basically the philosophy is, if all you're doing is memorizing something and quoting it out to other people, chapter and verse, then you haven't learned the lesson that is in the words. But if you've taken those words, if you've absorbed them, made them your own, and then are living them in a different way, then you're a prophet, and you've added to the message, and you can share that message, and it's appropriate to share that message if you've lived it. So often there are teachers, and I won't name names because I can't, but there are teachers out there that try to teach what they haven't experienced, and it doesn't work. I guess a good example would be if I was trying to teach you the philosophy of football, and I really didn't understand the game myself. You would gather, you know, pretty fast that I didn't know what I was talking about. You'd turn me off, you'd turn away, you'd daydream, you'd do your grocery list, you'd do almost anything other than pay attention to what I was saying. And this is the case with a lot of teachers out there. They're trying to teach something they don't understand. And we find that also with a lot of the spiritual teachers out there. It's sort of almost like AA. You don't go, AA, the principles of it are that as soon as you get to be, you get to a certain level where you have maintained your sobriety, then you sponsor other people because you know best what they're going to go through. And it's the same way with spirituality. It's the same way with, for instance, I would have trouble counseling someone who had lost a child because I've actually never lost a child. I can't imagine what it goes through. But if someone has lost a partner or a mate or a husband or a wife, I can counsel there because I have experienced it. I do understand what happens with the process that you go through, and I can relate to the hurt and to the fear and to the upset and to I can relate to the whole thing. So there are teachers out there that are trying to teach something they don't understand and they haven't experienced. I've seen people who try to teach workshops on becoming a medium who aren't one. And it's sort of like if you went to a workshop for, you know, how to have a good relationship, and the person teaching it not only wasn't in a relationship but hadn't had a successful one for years, trust me, that would not be a good place to put your money. That would be a place where, you know, you'd say, you know, I want to find someone who is happy and has a good relationship and can tell me how they worked to get to this point in time. So when it comes to the spiritual, take a look at the person. Take a look at where they are in their own life. What's going on? Are they stable? Are they content? Are they happy? Are they joyful? And everybody goes through crummy times, trust me, but not on a whole. You take the average. I made the mistake one time, a very long time ago. I was working the Renaissance Festival, and it was a slow day, and I went to one of the other psychics, and I said, I want you to look into relationship for me because I'm a little confused. There's a lot going on. And she said, okay, and she spread her cards out. And I threw out the names of the people that were in my life, and she trashed all of them. I mean, really trashed them all. And you know, when I got up and left, it was like, so nobody in my life is honest or is, you know, genuine as far as their feelings for me. And she said, nope, nobody. And I got very upset by that, and I went to one of the other psychics, and I said, man, I really don't read people in my life very well at all. And she said, well, don't you know what she's going through? And I said, no. And she said, she's going through a horrible divorce. She doesn't trust anybody. She's been lied to. She's been cheated on. She's, you know, the whole. And I thought, okay, so she just expressed her own frustrations on my life. So when you're going for readings, for heaven's sakes, look for the happy ones, because those are the ones you want to sit down with. It's kind of slow tonight. Switchboard is totally empty. Unless there are some questions here, I'm going to end the show early because, frankly, the Yankee game is starting, and since nobody has any questions and there are no calls, Jeannie and I are going to kind of hike it off into the yonder here. I do thank everybody for coming. I do appreciate your listening to me. It's kind of fun to be able to get stuff off my chest here. So I think that it's phenomenal that you all sat here and you all listened. And I will see you next week, I think, Tuesday. And James Luce will be on with me then. But thank you for coming, everybody. I greatly appreciate your coming and sharing your time with me and letting me actually talk instead of just do readings. So it's been a nice experience for me. Thanks for coming, everybody. Good night.